Our scripture today is from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26 to 34. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and that you share your word with us in so many different ways. Your word has provided for us much of what we've needed through life, and we pray that we surrender today, opening up our hearts, our minds, our spirits to your love and your care to teach us, to direct us the way that you want us to go. We ask you, Lord, also for the expounding upon the word, that it too is used for your glory and yours alone. We thank you for your love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 34. Hear now God's word. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." This is the word of God. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus had an ongoing message throughout his ministry, throughout much of it, especially there at the beginning. And his message really consisted of one main line that he would repeat over and over and over again. You know what that line is? You remember? The kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of God is near. Kingdom of God is practically here. Now, what is that kingdom of God? The Jews had their understanding. The Jews of the day had their understanding of the kingdom of God. It was Jesus' reign, or the Messiah's reign, political reign on earth as a physical kingdom. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God when he was talking about these particular things and many more. Remember when he talked about the kingdom of God being like a woman who lost a coin and she swept her house and she couldn't find it, but then when she did, she threw a party and she rejoiced. And Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is near, and the kingdom of God is worth rejoicing. Kingdom of God is exciting. Kingdom of God is beneficial and a place of great blessing. What is the kingdom of God? It's a spiritual place, first and foremost. It's Jesus' reign in our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit's working and living and moving through our culture and our lives and our church. The kingdom of God is indeed near when we love one another, when we support, and when we care for each other. Kingdom of God is present and close when we pray for each other, when we provide for each other. In short, as the children's sermon, when we nurture one another in Christ's love, when we have faith that Jesus will provide, when we have faith that God's will be done, the kingdom of God is near. When we read in the Gospels and in Revelations that the kingdom of God will also be a physical place. When Jesus comes again and makes his kingdom here on earth. And that is coming soon. Definition of soon being some undefined time in the future, whenever that is. But I love the descriptions of Jesus' kingdom of God. First, it's like the guy, the farmer who plants a seed in the ground. And he waters it, but, you know, that's it. God grows it. Comes from just a little seed to a stalk of wheat. And the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You ever see a mustard seed? Some of you, all of you. Very, very tiny. If I had one, I would show you. But you wouldn't be able to see it anyway. And it grows up into a large bush. One of the biggest of the shrubs. I remember a sermon that another pastor had done about a mustard seed. And she had a jar of mustard seeds about that big. And for a project that she had done, she needed 500 mustard seeds. And she was worried that she didn't have enough. 500 mustard seeds barely brought the bottle down that far from the top. The seed is so small. Jesus was saying in short to his disciples who were listening to him that the kingdom of God starts with something so small and ends with something beneficial to all. But as I was reading the farmer part, I was reminded of my son, Jonathan. When we were at North Carolina this past week, yesterday, in fact, we stopped on our way home at an outdoor market sorts, and there's a guy selling bread there. And Jonathan loves bread. He has a very specific kind of bread. He likes the Italian bread with the really crusty stuff on top and soft and warm in the middle. You know, that he loves that kind of stuff. And do you know his favorite thing to eat with bread? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No butter, no jelly, no peanut butter, no soup, no cheese. He just tears a hunk and eats it. Give Jonathan a loaf of Italian bread and it'll last 2 days maybe. And just eat bread. He loves bread. But he likes baking bread too. Again, not the baking part, but the eating part. But he realizes he's got to get through the baking part first in order to eat it, and that's what motivates him to bake it. And while he was there with this guy, the guy, you know, offered him a job when we come back, you know, if we go back next year, to help him bake bread. And Jonathan loves the process of baking bread so much that he planted wheat in our yard, in the garden. And he researched this to see just how much wheat he needed in order to make one loaf of bread. If I remember correctly, it's 30 square feet. About right? It's about 30 square feet of wheat for one loaf of bread. We got wheat. It's about yay high right now. It's not very big. It's coming. It'll get there maybe. And when it gets there, he'll grind it and make me, you know, all that bready stuff. But he's very, very excited. But he was nervous at first, I think, like many farmers and gardeners are. There's that moment that you have to have faith that what you're doing is correct, that what you're doing is right, that the soil is good. Because as you plant the seeds and you cover it over, you don't see anything. And as we saw in that time-lapse video, for almost 2 weeks, you don't see anything. Did it work? Is it going to grow? Is something happening? I wish I would have showed you also another time lapse. It was of wheat, but I didn't see one I really liked. But what it showed is he put it next to a glass panel so you can watch the seed grow. And for 2 weeks, while we're just looking at dirt, the seed is germinating and its roots are shooting out and little root hairs are growing and a small little stem is growing. And all this is happening in the time that we don't see. The time that gardeners and farmers have to have faith that what they're doing is correct. God is hard at work at that seed happening, that seed growing. And I take great encouragement from this. Jesus oftentimes, when talking about kingdom of God, starts very small. It's one of the reasons why I love serving smaller churches. because it's a testament to God's power and God's love that God can use any of us, all of us, no matter how big or how small we are, that some of the greatest things in life start so small, with so little that we think it may not amount to much. There's a story in the Bible about a young boy who went to a teaching of Jesus, and his parents gave him a lunch of just a few small loaves of bread and some fish. And then when he had heard that Jesus needed some food to feed 5,000 people, he offered what he had. It's not much. How can that feed so many people? And yet it did. But this part where there's 2 weeks of the seed growing where we can't see gives me encouragement too, because how many times have you loved the Lord, have you prayed for someone, and have not seen anything in return? Discouragement might set in. Is anything happening? Are people listening? Is anyone changing? Is God's love really moving? How many times have you prayed for someone for years and not seen any results? And always wondered if God's prayers are doing any good. And yet one day, something happens. A life is changed. To you, it might seem a miracle like that. But to them, it's something that's been happening for years and years and years. We just aren't privy to that part of it. When I read the parables, I get encouraged by God's activity with us in our lives. Because the results that we want to see aren't always the results that we get. We may want to see hundreds and thousands of people come to this church, or maybe not that many. That would be a bit too many. Don't have room for that. But the truth is, and this is the truth that I love, that God is using us. God is using us to reach people we may not even know. God's love never comes back void, but changes the lives of those whom we encounter, though we may not know it, though we may not ever see it. Mornings I wake up and I look in the mirror and I said, really, Lord, why call me to love others? But if God can use even me, God can use any one of us. And so I rejoice. We may not be able to see what God is doing, but we have faith that God is. And we rejoice that one day we may be able to see the fruit of God's love. But if we don't, our kids will. And if they don't, their kids will. Because God's love is always working. And there is nothing that God cannot use for God's glory. And we thank God for that. We'll leave you with this benediction today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Lord, we thank you. And in your name, we go in peace today and always. Amen and amen.